Hey Albuquerque, it's Ryan. Did you know that you can leave us a 60-second voice message right on your own Anchor app for us? It's true. We are gearing up for our first ever listeners episode, and we'd love to hear from you. Leave us a message and tell us about some of the ironies that you've noticed about living with coronavirus, or how plague has impacted your work or business, or what weird or artistic things you've been up to lately as you've been stuck at home. In the meantime, you can also post your answers and pictures on social media with the hashtag BerkeSpeaks. Take care, stay safe, and remember, we're all in this together.
Welcome to the What's Up ABQ podcast, and we hope you're staying safe and healthy, Albuquerque, because once this is all over, we hope you'll start getting involved with your neighbors to improve your community. What kind of things can a community do when everyone pulls together as one?
This wasn't our mayor coming and saying, we're going to do this, or the governor, or anything like that. It was the community members. That community center that you're talking about was the result of a community coming together and working towards that.
Today, Ryan and Lindsay bring you the success story of one Albuquerque community organization that shares ideas with each other, focuses on exactly what they want, and pull together to get it done. Something for you to consider in your own neighborhood.
Won't you please? Won't you please?
Please won't you be our neighbor in this week's episode of What's Up ABQ.
What's up, Albuquerque? This is Lindsay.
And this is Ryan.
And this is season 2 of What's Up ABQ. Welcome back, Albuquerque. This is another episode of What's Up, ABQ. I'm Lindsay.
And I'm Ryan. And today we have...
Luis Hernandez with the West Central Community Development Group.
Where are we at today?
Well, we're hanging out here at the West Central Community Development Group. The location is 5921 Central Avenue Northwest in beautiful West Side, Albuquerque. So we're conveniently situated on West Central, right in between Old Coors and New Coors.
I was going to say, for once, I didn't have to drive very far because I looked down the valley and it's a straight shot on Coors.
Close to you. I know we're always like sending him way out far from his house, but today we're close to you. So you win. It's a winning day for you.
So you're in District 3, right?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. So down in the South Valley. I love the South Valley. In fact, that's where I grew up. You know, it was in the South Valley, and I've got lots of really great memories of childhood out there and just some really good life lessons that you can only learn in the South Valley of Albuquerque.
Lindsay learned a nice little life lesson.
We're really going to go there today.
All right,
you can tell us.
Okay, well, so you're picking me up to go to a podcast.
By the way, I just, before you say this, I want to apologize. Because I'm sure I'm going to offend a lot of people after you tell the story. Okay.
Okay. Well, she's picking me up, and she was like, oh, there was a bunch of cops pulled over by the one of the fields down there. And she's like, oh, it's probably like a body or something. And I was like, hey, don't knock where I live. And the cops were out there taking selfies with the horse.
Hey, you know, that's what happens, you know, on the Southwest Mesa of Albuquerque is, you know, the officers live, you know, they love to take pictures with the livestock out there, you know, and who doesn't? Mm-hmm. Lindsay, when was the last time you had a selfie with a horse from the South Valley?
That's not fair. I mean, okay, this before 2 weeks ago, it would have been like a couple years at least. We did an interview at Tamiya Horse Rehab.
Oh, fantastic.
So yes, but only because I had that opportunity.
Interesting. All right. Yeah. Well, you're not going to have that opportunity here at the West Central office. We do things a little differently out here. I'd love to tell you the story and, you know, maybe kind of start, you know, way back when. Now, we all have somebody in common that we know. And I actually had an opportunity to work with your father way back in the day. This was quite some time ago, right? But I got to tell you this because it's a funny story, right? We worked for management recruiters of the Sandias, right? Don Ancona, great guy, phenomenal leader. In fact, you know, I still you know, go back to some of the things that he taught me while there. But I remember you know, starting to work there as an executive recruiter, and you know, we were looking for our book of business or the vertical that we wanted to recruit within, right? And somehow your dad and Don had me recruiting for chicken farmers.
I did not know there was a an industry for chicken farmer recruiting.
Okay, so it's not necessarily, it's not called chicken farmers. It's called animal husbandry, right? And there's actually, it's a chicken farmer. Yeah, you know, this is the guy that farms the chickens and breeds the chickens. Yeah. And but, you know, really it's big business, you know, and that's the tie-in or the connect to South Valley and you know, that lifestyle living, if you will, right? But I just have to shout them out really quickly right now. but those are, you know, good memories, you know, that I have with those guys. But yeah, you know, today, you know, my path is taking a, you know, a wild turn from executive recruiting to more of community, you know, building and community advocacy. And it all happened on accident.
I feel like it happens, like your pathway kind of straightens itself out that way. It's like, here's a happy accident. Now follow this trail. You might not know where it goes, but just keep walking. And you're like, yeah. Okay.
Well, you know, that's exactly how it happened. You know, I tell a story, being a musician, you know, I grew up as a musician, you know, playing in, you know, several different types of bands, but really landed on the traditional New Mexico Spanish music. And while in that, I came to the realization that there was only one outfit in the Albuquerque area that was booking acts. And so I said, gosh, there's got to be another cat in town that books acts. And so I jumped in without really investigating it thoroughly to make sure that there was, you know, a market for it, that there was, you know, that this was a viable, you know, business to be in. And I just jumped in, you know, without looking in. One of the very first things that I did was I wanted to join a chamber of commerce, right? Just so that, you know, it would validate my business, right? I knew that if I joined a chamber of commerce that, you know, that I could say, hey, I'm a part of this organization and that makes my business legitimate, right? And so I had previously worked at the Greater Albuquerque Chamber, and I wasn't so sure if that's where I wanted to be with this particular business. And, you know, I couldn't afford a membership to the Albuquerque Hispano Chamber. And I knew that there was a West Side Chamber, and I lived on the West Side. So I said, let me call these guys up, right? Long story short, I reached out and they said, hey, you know, we'd love you to join. Can you help us put on networking events? And I said, well, sure, why not? It's, you know, kind of in the realm of the business, right? Long story short, the executive director at that time became ill, and I was asked by one of the board members if I could take over and be the executive director of the Albuquerque West Side Chamber. I said, how much does it pay?
So tell me about this job that you're asking me to do. What does the paycheck look like? Or is it volunteer?
Yeah, exactly. You know, that was the very first question in my mouth was, what does it pay? And you know, again, there was one of those volunteer opportunities, right? But I really didn't know what it meant, right? And so I asked, I said, well, what exactly is it that you want me to do? And, you know, the board came back and said, listen, we really need somebody who's dynamic that can really build the community, you know, bring the businesses together and really provide some resources for them so that they can grow. And so I really didn't know what I was doing. And that's how I got into this line of work on accident, right? So there I went, you know, tripping over my own feet, trying to figure things out. And at the end of the day, you know, it was a great opportunity to really learn how to, you know, manage a nonprofit with zero funding, $0, you know, from zero budget, and really bring the community, the business community together and go out and identify resources that were going to be helpful in helping these businesses, you know, scale, you know, and grow. And so, you know, there's a lot of unique stories in line with that. But, you know, we were able to do some really amazing things with nothing.
It's so funny to me when you have nothing, you're forced, I think, to be a little more creative and resourceful. And then you realize, like, you kind of dig deep and you realize what you have or what that guy over there has. And then you go, how can we help each other? Like, how can we figure this out together so we both win?
Exactly, exactly.
I come from a nonprofit background as well. So it's always kind of trying to figure out, you know, how we can work together to meet both of the different needs that we have. So
I was doing marketing for a nonprofit back in Missouri, and I totally get that, because it's like, we could do all these things, but here's what we actually have, so what can we do with this? And right. You'd be amazed just by either working together or by just, you know, forcing yourself to work with limits, yeah. like how your creativity comes through.
No, I think that lends itself, to the creativity side, and I like to call it my entrepreneurial endeavor, right? Because it really taught me, how to bootstrap, how to go out and find the resources, and be a master of identifying those opportunities that you could achieve at a very low cost or for free, right?
Hey, and, it works. Yeah, you do absolutely. What you have to do.
Yeah, I got to say, with the help of social media, at that time it was, I think Facebook had just been around for maybe a year or two. It was fairly new, right? And I just remember, when I started there, we did not have a website. We were doing everything old school. You can't see this. You can only hear. But if you could hear the pages turning, we wrote everything down, with a pen and paper. And that's, that was our accounting system, right? That was everything. And that's, and so we evolved. I created a really solid relationship with the gentleman out of Reno, Nevada, called Richard. His name is Richard Scully. He has a platform called Chamber Nation, where he builds out, the operating system and, CRM for chambers of commerce. And then in turn creates this awesome platform for end users, right, for all the members. And so this is what we use to really help us grow that Westside Chamber, was this platform. And I continue to work with him today. I'll tell you a little bit more about that later on, right? But that's how I got into this line of work. While I was at the Westside Chamber, we were always looking at different ways that we could really grassroots grow our chamber, right, or our community. And so I started doing some research, and I got involved in looking at neighborhood associations, right. Yeah. Didn't really know much about neighborhood associations, because in the South Valley there might be one or two, right?
Yeah.
But everybody is so spread out that it's not one of those commonalities, right? Of people getting together. But anyway, I started investigating these neighborhood associations, and I found that these people really are concerned about the livelihood of their communities, right? And they get together on a regular basis to talk about, what is good in the hood or not, right? What's bad in the hood, right?
Well, what's better than having people living in those communities actually talking about what they need done? You know what I mean? Because I think somebody like me, I live in a different part of town. I could come over here and guess, but I don't live here.
Exactly.
Exactly.
And that's what I was finding out. Well, lo and behold, I came across this particular group, which is the West Central Community Development Group. And I learned that they were, the hub, if you will, of another group called SWAN, which was a Southwest Alliance of Neighborhood Associations, right? Which again was, the hub of about 20 different neighborhood associations here on the Northwest Southwest Mesa, right? And so the cool thing was that they were really doing things differently. Exactly what you said. They didn't come from outside of the area and say, "Hey, I feel like you guys need this." Yeah. they were actually going right back into the community and saying, "Okay, hey, we live here, we work here. What do we want, right?" So I got involved with them about 5 years ago. I was very fortunate that they actually let me get on the board of directors, right? And I was like, "Holy smokes!"
Banana.
Yeah. Whoop, 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 whoop. And at the time they had been involved in doing two primary events, right? The first event was called Westfest, right? And that is it's a community meeting disguised as a fiesta. As a party, right? And I'm like, well, what does that mean exactly? Well, at this community meeting, what they do is they engage with the residents, the community stakeholders, and really identify with them by having them participate in surveys and asking them, "Hey, what do you want?"
knowledge is power, right?
Yeah. What do you? I mean, hey, here we are. This
we'll
is the South.
You,
yeah.
Tell us what you want.
We'll feed you. Tell us what you want, right? So they had these surveys that, and they date back to 13 years now, right? of the community stakeholders, community members saying, we want these types of services here in this corridor. We want these types of amenities out here. We like to have these particular types of restaurants out here, mm-hmm. retailers out here, yeah. You know, everything, you know, and a lot of really, really, really great ideas were birthed from that. You mentioned earlier the community center, right?
Yeah.
That particular community center that you're talking about, you know, was the work, the result of a community coming together and working towards that, right? This wasn't an elected official that came and said, this is what we're going to do. This wasn't our mayor coming and saying, we're going to do this, or the governor, or anything like that. It was the community members that said, hey, you know what? Enough is enough. That's great that you guys want to build all these things all over the city, but hey, we're probably one of the oldest communities in the city of Albuquerque, and we like to have some things too over here on this side, right?
Yeah. People live here. We need this.
Yeah. We like to have some of that out here. So yeah. Just a unique story. They started hosting bonfires at the site of where the community center is now to just, you know, grassroots of, hey, you know, to let, you know, the city officials know, hey, here we are. We're a community, and this is really what we want out here, and this is what we really need. And lo and behold, you know, things finally came to fruition, and they've got one of the best community centers, I feel, in the entire city of Albuquerque, right? But that just goes to show you, you know, what can happen when the neighborhood people, you know, really get involved and they start communicating and talking about what their wants and needs are, right? So, yeah, that's, you know, one of the cool stories that I like to share.
So can you give us a brief kind of snapshot of a before and an after for some of the community organizations that you've worked for?
Snapshot. Okay. So I'll give you, and so I got these cool little deals here, right? I'll give you some of the accomplishments, right? Because we like to talk about those, right?
Oh, yeah.
So this particular... So this particular group, the West Central Community Development Group, has been instrumental and involved in really advocating, you know, for things here in the community. And it's all based on feedback that they've gotten from the community, right? Again, this isn't the group saying, hey, we want this, we want that, right? But there's a brand new fire station just right down the street from us here on 57th Street. You know, that was, again, the result of the community coming together and saying, hey, we need a new fire station. And, you know, sadly, you know, we just lost City Councilor Ken Sanchez, you know, heartbreaking. But they're going to name that fire station after Ken Sanchez, which is, you know, another
legacy.
Yeah, a great legacy there. But in fact, you know, Ken Sanchez was instrumental in helping out with the Unser Library, the Patrick J. Baca Library, which is just right on Central and Unser there, and another great facility. Yeah. So things like that, right? The other thing is there's a UNM clinic right on that same corner, Central and Unser. These are things that have been advocated for by the group, right? Back down on the other side, right, on Atrisco, if you're going across the river, right, you know that there's these really cool overlooks right on the bridge, right? So you can walk the bridge and you can go, you know, and spend a little bit of time on these little overlooks, right? They're designed so that you can kind of hang out and see what's happening on the river there. Things like that that really encourage, you know, some of the local residents to stop and visit, right? Hang out, come and tour the west side, right? As you guys were coming, I'm sure you saw the arches, the Route 66 arches, right?
Great.
At night, you got to see those, right? Yeah.
Perfect.
But, you know, another great way to, you know, to spur economic growth, you know, and development here on West Central is by those types of efforts and projects, right, that attract people to come, right? Not just the residents of Albuquerque, but I can't tell you how many times I've seen people, and now it's a little scary with the art buses and the art lanes, right? But people parking right on Central and getting out of the cars and taking pictures with the sign and their vehicle, right? And so I've seen lately, as of late, a couple of people doing that. And I'm like, yeah, you might want to.
It's cool, but please don't get hit by art.
Don't get hit by art.
We're still looking at you, Art. You're still looking at you, Art.
Right.
Stop it.
Yeah. Art, cut it out. But a couple of success stories, right? Dion's, we all know Dion's. We all love Dion's, right? Yeah. Dion's is a staple in New Mexico. Yeah, right? you know, the residents, you know, here on the west side, you know, really wanted a Dion's. And so this group went out and met with Dion's and the management team. And they really, you know, encouraged them to locate, you know, here on West Central. And they, you know, were hesitant. You know, they did a lot of market research and, you know, they that's what they do, right? they went ahead and they bought the land, built, and it turned out to be one of their highest grossing stores in the entire state of New Mexico,
when
right?
When I was pregnant with my son, my husband worked at Verizon right across the way, and I used to be at that Dion's all the time.
I was going to say,
Dion's
South Valley, of course, shout out. You guys always do a great job.
All the Dion's.
Well, it's okay. And so then that happened, right? You know, development on Real Bravo and Coors, right? And now you guys got a Dion's out there. And so I think that one is now quickly growing to be probably the, you know, and it's so that just goes to show you, right? You know, and I won't get into the disparities of how the city has, you know, has come to where it's at to today, right? But there is a huge disparity, right, in development, right? Yeah. And, you know, that's one of the main focuses of this group is really to advocate, you know, for the residents here on the west side to have the things that that we have in all other parts of the city, right, to really, you know, push for those things there. So, yeah, it's exciting.
All right, well, we need to take a quick break, but we'll be right back.
What's Up ABQ is proudly sponsored by Mark Cohen Designs in Albuquerque at 3301 Manal. Let Mark Cohen Designs be your partner when considering remodeling your home. Mark and his team will guide you through the entire renovation process and connect you with all the sources and contacts you need to complete your job. The designers will walk you through each step and help you decide on flooring, lighting, fixtures, and any other advice you need. They use your ideas to make sure you get all of the elements you need in your space. Mark's team of interior designers bring fresh insights and solutions to the needs and desires for your home. They make sure you have a space that functions well, is a joy to inhabit, and reflects your vision and lifestyle. You'll receive detailed footprints and 3D renderings so you can see exactly how your concept will look at completion. Mark Cohen Designs, 3301 Manal Boulevard. Visit markcoandesigns.com and book your free consultation at 837-8888. Mark Cohen Designs is What's Up ABQ.
And we're back. And today, maybe if you came in halfway to the show, we'll have you reintroduce yourself.
Absolutely. My name is Luis Hernandez with the West Central Community Development Group.
So, Luis, I wanted to ask you before the break, and I didn't get a minute to, but I wanted to ask, so what do you, like now that you guys have done a little bit more development on this west side and you're continuing to, what are some things that people want to see in the next 5 to 10 years?
Well, I'll tell you, there's a lot of things. And I actually, as I took on this new opportunity here, I've had the opportunity to really dig into the history. You know, I've learned that there have been some great projects and great ideas that have come out of the history of this group and what's happened along the corridor of West Central. At one point, there was conversation about a Riverwalk. You know, down on you know, the Coors Atrisco area there. And that was a really neat project that a lot of people feel would just really transform the entire city of Albuquerque, right, in terms of being a destination point and a tourist hub, right? Not that we aren't already that.
That's just next level.
That is next level there. But one of the things that this group has been working on for well over 20 years before they were even formed as a group is the Route 66 Visitor Center. And that is a public-private partnership, you know, city, county, state. Everybody's come to the table on this, and it is actually coming to fruition. We will be breaking ground on that facility in April, May of this year, right? The build out will probably take about a year to two, but it's going to be a phenomenal place. It'll have a museum where we'll get to showcase, you know, the Mother Road, right? Yeah. It will have an event space, right? Because here on the West Side, those are very sparse. Anytime we want to have a meeting or a convention, it has to take place typically on the other side of the river.
Can I make a personal request?
Absolutely.
Can it have like an old-fashioned soda fountain or ice cream shop? I would love that. I'm just saying.
Well, it's going to have something along those lines. We will have a restaurant, which is phase two of the project. Phase two of the project, right?
I'll hang tight.
Hang tight. No, you're going to love this, right? It's going to have a drive-in theater part of,
perfect.
Right? It's going to have a drive-in theater, right?
Like the one in Las Vegas, right?
Right?
Yeah. Well, it's funny. I drove by the one in the South Valley the other day, and they're doing some building and developing and stuff. And I was like, man, I feel like we're ready again. Like, we're ready for drive-ins again. I'm not sure why we ever let them die, to be honest. They're wonderful things. But I'm like, it's time, guys. It's been time.
Yeah. You know? Who doesn't, right? Who doesn't want to watch a movie from the comfort of their own car?
And we have such great weather here, too, you know?
One time my friend and I were talking about, this is maybe, when we were young and stupid and thought we were going to have all the money in the world.
Listen in.
No, we were talking about how it would be amazing to have a drive-in theater that had a laundromat and also a bar. So you could do your laundry while you're watching the movie and then go have a drink while you're waiting. I don't know. Anyway.
Well, there are plans for a tap room.
Okay, hey, see?
Okay, there are plans for a tap room. Now, the laundromat, I'm not so sure. There will be a fire station right next to the facility, and I can only imagine that a fire station would have... a washer and dryer, and if you're in good with those guys, maybe
bring them some food.
Bring them some food.
Maybe you can do your laundry while you're watching a movie. Perfect. These ideas here, the wheels are turning. Yeah.
But some of the unique things that we'll have there is going to be kind of the old Route 66 neon signage graveyard, right? That will be there, and we got to thank the Garcia family, for their contributions for that. They've committed to some signage out there, and I don't know if you've been to their facilities down on off of Broadway and Lomas there. Amazing, cool, one of the coolest spots. But so we'll have some of their pieces up at the visitor center. The other cool thing, it's going to have an amphitheater. So we'll be able to feature and showcase a lot of our local, talent, preserve our rich culture and history that we have here in New Mexico, which, when you say that, people typically think, Hispanic or Native American. But, the reality is that we've got deep roots in lots of different cultures. It's going to be a great place to be able to showcase all of that, right? And the idea, simply put, is in Albuquerque, we have probably one of the largest sections of the Mother Road.
Yeah, sure.
I was going to ask about that. I mean, we talk about Route 66, and I don't know about you, but we think about it in the past.
Right.
What's Route 66 culture like now? I mean, we're sitting right next to it.
We are literally on Route 66.
Route 66, right? Yeah. So, that was the road that was traveled. If you wanted to go cross country, you did it on Route 66, right? And that was before they built our highway system, right? Once they built the highway system, Route 66 pretty much died. And every city and town that was on the Route 66 corridor, almost died with it, right? And there are several historic areas that are being revitalized now to bring that back, right? And we feel that this visitor center is going to do that for the city of Albuquerque and really, really inject some life into the West Central corridor, right? We feel so strongly about that for a couple of reasons, right? We have never celebrated the Route 66 corridor in this way. Yeah. We've never really given anybody reason to get off of I-25.
I don't know. There's a lot of reasons to get off of
I-25. But
if you're not from here and you don't know, I mean, you're just going to keep going. Yeah, but if you have a reason to stop, give people a reason to stop.
Well, it's interesting. There was a study conducted by the fine folks over at Rutgers University, right, on the economic impact of Route 66 and Route 66 visitor centers or museums, right? And I'll just tell you, in towns of less than 10,000 people, their visitorship was three times, four times that because of a visitor center, right? And you're talking about the spend per person, right, is upwards of, you know, $500 to $800 per person on a visit like that, right? Sure. So when we talk about economic growth and development, you know, this is really something that that we feel is going to really help out the city of Albuquerque.
I'm going to drop the M word again. Get ready. Cheers. No, I feel like there is definitely a swing in the pendulum back with the millennial generation, where it's about experience and it's about experiencing things, maybe right. In more of a nostalgic way than we have in a long time. Like, I can speak for myself. I have a 1957 Siesta trailer that I'm like revamping.
Really?
Yeah. And it's I'm so excited. And one of our plans this summer is to take that trailer up the Pacific Coast Highway. Just check it out. You know yeah. what I mean? And so I could totally see that sort of idealistic experience, if you will, coming through Route 66 again. And I think people are ready for that. I think that, like, my generation and people slightly younger, I'm looking at you, Ryan. I think we want that experience because yeah. we see all this nostalgic history and it's been maybe dormant for a while.
Yeah.
And so we're ready to see those neon lights again, you know, light up.
There's already little pockets of it. Like when we were driving back from California,
yeah.
there was, in the middle of the desert, there was this, what used to be, I think, like an old fuel station.
Yeah.
And it was just covered in like...
Rice Road.
Yeah.
You're talking about Rice Road, yeah.
And it was covered in like, what was it, shoes?
Shoes
and stickers and like...
It was like a makeshift stop for people, and it was super weird. But it was just like this cool old historical thing that people kept passing by, and finally they're like, let's do something with that, you know? Yeah. Like, let's make it something. That's pretty cool.
No, I mean, you know, those experiences are great. You know, I've got a six-year-old daughter, and we did a little road trip to Phoenix not too long ago, and we made some stops at some of those places, right, that are, you know, on the Route 66, and it was great because she doesn't know the history of Route 66. She doesn't know that, but to her... It was, oh my God, this is so neat. I've never seen anything like this before, right? And we enjoyed our time. And guess what we did while we were at these little stops? We spent money.
Yeah. That's right. You got to get the little souvenir. You got to take the fun picture for Instagram, right. You know, the good photo op. But she'll remember that as an experience. Yes. You know, it's in there. It's going to be there for a long time.
But yeah, no, I agree wholeheartedly with you. I think that that we're in a day and age now where it's about the experiences, right? And it's not an experience that you can have without a physical location, right? Route 66, you know, spans lots of miles. We just want to showcase what we have here in Albuquerque, right? And we want to provide that opportunity for people to stop. We want the other businesses along Route 66 to benefit from that, right? So I envision, and this is totally not my idea, but some ideas of some great leaders here in Albuquerque, I envision that we create some sort of an interactive route or program along the entire corridor throughout Albuquerque, starting with that, you know, visitor center. You stop at the visitor center, and then from there you get your marching orders on to the next location throughout the city of Albuquerque,
you
right?
know, and it's not only a piece of American history, it's also a piece of automotive history.
Yeah.
So it'd be great to get you down, maybe I'm just talking.
Dream a little dream.
You know, like...
You're
like,
dreaming in the right place.
Well, like Ford, Chevy, you know, whatever, the different American car companies are like that. If you were on Route 66, you were in one of those cars, you know, yeah. and you still see them around sometimes.
Well, I mean, you look at the building where Kelly's is at, that's an old, you know, and then Standard Diner, same thing. You know, you've got all of that kind of history that's tucked in there.
There's a ton of history. In fact, I don't know if you know this or not, but the Unsers, they're a prominent family here in the city of Albuquerque, and they happen to live right on Route 66. Majority of them.
Yeah. Hey, answers.
Yeah, we may have to have some conversations with them about the possibilities of relocating their museum.
Right.
You know, I don't know if that's maybe a hopeful shout out.
I feel like we should do like a Route 66 road rally where you have all the old school cars.
Car club.
There you go.
We had them on a while ago.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Okay, so tell me about these guys.
They're great. Oh, I mean, what is there to say? They're great.
they're a local car club, but it's anybody who has a passion for cars, and they're charitable, and they'll go do shows, and they'll go support local businesses. They're great. So shout out Homies Car Club, and maybe you guys can talk together.
Absolutely.
Orlando, we're looking at you.
Yes. Orlando, if you're out there, we haven't met yet. Or maybe we have. Who knows?
Who knows?
Who knows? We're all about, we're automobile enthusiasts. That's the best way to say it, right? and that's another one of the great things here is that, the lowrider community, we've been able to really help those guys advocate, for cruising, right? Which has been a huge thing. And that, again, takes place.
And that was the conversation we were actually having with homies is like, they were like, we're not all criminals. We just want to like drive our cars down Route 66. Yeah. I get it.
Yeah. It makes total sense. I didn't realize this, and they because I have an '86 Mustang convertible, right?
Yeah.
And so, hat. Oh, it's in the shop. It's coming. Okay, Fiona will ride again. He was saying, Central Route 66 is one of the few east-west roads you can go slow on.
Yeah.
You know, you can drive slow and enjoy yourself. And
you can drive slow.
You're right.
Unless there's an ART bus.
ART? Don't take pictures.
Stay in your lane.
Okay, we're not going to talk about the ART bus, right?
But no, absolutely right. You know, that's something that was a part of our history here, mm-hmm. right, in the city of Albuquerque. Advocating for all car enthusiasts to be able to have that that right, to go and drive slow on Central, and if there are, and you're absolutely right. Do you know what the average cost of a modified vehicle is?
Probably a lot.
Yeah, you should know at this point.
I should know.
Rebuilt from the ground up.
Well, she'll be great when she's done.
Yeah, well, I'll just submit to say this, right? If you're not in a position. You will never be able to afford a modified vehicle. I'll just say that. It takes a lot of time and money to modify a vehicle. And that's, just one of those things where, you have to understand that, right? That it's not stigma that most people, have on people who drive modified vehicles, right?
Well, no, you can tell that it's somebody's pride and joy.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you can tell.
You know, these are we're talking about family projects, right?
That's where Orlando's like, I take my daughter and we just like do car shows and hang out. It's great.
Yeah. And, that's going back to some of the work that the Route 66 and the West Central Community Development Group really prides itself on is, at this community, at this fiesta, right, this community gathering, we go all out, right? It's a big, huge car show. We have a boxing exhibition at the event, and then we have live entertainment. And so there's something for everybody at the event. We have vendors and all that good stuff as well. But at the end of the day, we're engaging the community members, say, hey, what do you guys want? What do you guys need? What's important to you up here on the west side? And then we go to work on advocating for those things.
Okay, so we have another important question to ask you.
Yes.
Okay, so are you ready?
Do I need my attorney?
Well, this is important. It depends on your answer. Red or green?
Okay, so that really depends on where I'm at in life, right? So we live in New Mexico, right, in Albuquerque, right? Everybody has allergies. You just have them, right?
Sure.
So when you get the allergies, what's the best thing to do, right?
Something spicy.
You got to get something spicy, so that has to be the green chili stew from Golden Pride, right?
Yeah.
Green chili stew from Golden Pride, right? But any other day? Enchiladas, steak and enchiladas, steak fingers,
I am hungry right now, by the way. This is not helping.
We got Max La Sierra. We could probably walk over. But yeah, red all day long. Yeah. Okay. I do not mix the two. Not a Christmas guy. Okay. That's, you have to be kind of, I don't know, a little, you gotta be a little mixed up.
This is where the lawyer comes in.
Yeah. This is where the lawyer comes in. You gotta be mixed up in the head to combine those two. But it's on a good day. On most days, it's the red. Those allergy days, it's green. Unless you can tell where my heart is at, right?
Yeah.
Unless we're eating the number 9 from Golden Pride, which is a breakfast burrito. That's bacon, green.
It's so good.
Yeah. So we have two options, right? within walking distance.
Awesome. I know. You can take the ART, all the way down. You can just like eat your way all the way down Central, and there's like good options all the way.
You know, and there's, you know, that's not funny that you mentioned that, but really here on this West Central corridor, we've got the Western View Steakhouse, which has been around since the 1920s.
Which I need to go to. Right. So
The Max La Sierra, which again has been here since the 1920s. We've got the Monte Carlo Steakhouse, which is often featured on Guy Fieri's Diners, Drives, and Dives and Drives.
Something like that. Yeah. You can guarantee after this happens, he'll be back once the visitor center's
back. Totally. Well, you know, and maybe that's another shout out. You know, maybe with the hopes of having him visit and do some segments of what we're doing up there. You know, the restaurant again is going to be phase two of the project, but we hope to really bring in somebody notable on a national level to operate.
I think you guys might need to make a chili passport so that when people drive, they try all the chili as they go down.
Good idea.
That's not a bad idea. So I'm going to hold you guys hostage, right? I'm going to hold you guys hostage when we wrap this up here. I'm going to pick your brains. Or maybe offer you an opportunity to participate here at the West Central, to help with some of those ideas there. But, you know, that would be great. A chili passport, right? You got to stop at all the joints along Central and get your chili stamp. Right?
I know my husband will be like the first one to sign up for that. Like, he'd do it anyway voluntarily without the passport, but like, it's just a little nudge, you know? Mm-hmm. Here's your piece of paper that said you had all the chili.
Well, yeah, I mean, we can really, you know, come up with some sort of an award for that, right? Like, you know, there could be some contesting that's involved with that. Like, you know, who's got the hottest chili or who can put down the hottest chili. It's...
The chili champ.
Yeah, you know. Who's going to be the 2020 chili champ of Albuquerque, New Mexico?
That's right. Get ready now. Get those recipes ready.
Start training.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, Namaste
Kabya.
So here's the thing. If there's two chili champs and they tie, can they box it out at the fiesta?
Yeah, there you go. See, perfect. We love it, right? Okay, if we got two chili champs and they're in the dead tie, then they can box it out, right? They are sanctioned fights, so they may walk away, being a belt holder.
The chili champion.
The chili champion. And, you know, we've actually got some really great projects that are coming up, as well, and that we could certainly make that a part of these events, right? Why not?
Yeah.
You know, get your kicks on Route 66, right? Let's get you the chili challenge. Let's get you your chili passport. And if we have some contenders that want to go toe-to-toe, we'll actually put out the boxing ring for them to do it in.
I love it.
Right?
I love it. I've never boxed before, but I'm thinking I might start.
I've been a contender, right?
Maybe. Yeah. I can't speak for my chili, but I could maybe box.
So people want to get involved with GoABQ or any of the different local community groups. How do they do it? What do they do?
So absolutely. So really the best place to go is if you go over to the City of Albuquerque website, cabq.gov, go ahead and hop on over to the city council page. And within that, there's a page within that for the neighborhood associations, right? There you can find out which neighborhood association you belong to. And if you don't actually belong to one, maybe you can create one. Right. And the whole idea with that is simply is to really bring your community together. Right. There's power when you bring your community together. Right. You then get the ears of the people that can make a difference, for you in your neighborhood. Right. And support of APD and community policing that happens at that level really is where it happens. Right. And so it's a complete grassroots advocacy. But what happens is you build this community, right? You build a community of people who really care because this is their neighborhood, right? And so if you're not part of that yet, I would encourage you. In fact, I would implore you to really get outside of yourself, right? Get outside of your comfort zone and go be a part of your community, right? Mm-hmm. be a part of your community and do something that is worthwhile, right? I mean, we all can benefit from it. You've got kids, I've got kids. We all want Albuquerque to be the best and safest place for them, right? And the only way that can happen is by getting involved, right, and doing something, right? So whether it's your PTA, your neighborhood association, get involved somehow, right? Those things will all lead up into groups like the Southwest Alliance of Neighborhood Associations, or we've got others throughout the city that they all come together, right? But there's several different ways, and if you need help, you can reach out to me directly, right? My number is in every bathroom in the city.
Undivided attention.
Yes,
it's great.
Undivided attention. Yes, on a Johnny board.
Hey,
you talking
that
board.
Good marketing. I've thought about that. I'm like, this is brilliant.
But no, and really, at the end of the day, it's for me. I never thought that I would be doing this type of work at all. I never intended to. I never set out to do this type of work. I didn't wake up when I was 19 years old and say, hey, this is what I want to do. I wanted to be a rock star musician. Well, that's not happening, right?
Weird.
But really, it's important. It really is important. And so we talk about the disparity, right? And we talk about the, different pockets of the city of Albuquerque, right? It's important for us, especially if we live in those particular pockets, right, that we show up. We show up and we get vocal about the things that we want, the things that we would like to see, the things that are important to us, right? Because let me tell you what, there are other people in the city that are doing just that, right? That may not be in the same position that we're in, or maybe not have the needs as strong as we need it. But they're winning, right? Because they're getting vocal about that, right? And so we just got to assemble ourselves to do just that, right? Share our voice, right? And the best way to do that is by getting involved. Right.
And I think that's so important. I think people forget a lot of the times you can complain, but at the end of the day, you have your voice, and that's the one thing that you do have. And so if you don't say something, no one's going to listen. You have to get loud. Sometimes you have to shake some trees and get a little, persistent. But I think that's exactly what you're saying. You have to get involved in your own community. And if you don't speak up, people don't know.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So yeah, if you're stuck and you don't know which way to go, reach out to me. My direct telephone number is 505-688-4122. Again, Luis Hernandez, call me. I will help you. I will personally help you get connected, right, to whatever your organization is, wherever your community is, right, whether it be in the city of Albuquerque or even the entire state of New Mexico or the United States of America.
We're going national.
So I wanted to just mention one more thing before we wrap up.
Yes.
You have plans for this space that we're sitting in now.
Yes.
It's going to be a community space of some kind. Do you want to kind of touch on that real quick?
Absolutely. So we're fortunate to have a rather large building right here on West Central. And so we're going to make the best use of this facility. We intend on creating a co-working space, right, as well as a computer lab to teach not only the area residents, but also the businesses, internet essentials, if you will, or computer essentials, if you will, but move along down the line and really teach these people how to market, brand, and promote their businesses. In addition to that, this space is open and available for all, community type of events. If you have something that is free and for the community and we see it to be a benefit, then we will kindly and gladly let you use the facilities however you see fit, so long as it's within the guidelines of between 11 a.m. and 1 p.m. Just kidding.
And no keggers, guys.
No keggers, yes. Well, as my good friend Jerry would say, we don't have a liquor license for that. We are conveniently located right next to a liquor store, but you can't bring the two together here, but I know. And we have a lot of really great events here. We got one that is called Artes Escondidos. We did it last year. We got the area artists to submit their artwork. There was a voting process in place, and the winners actually have their artwork featured on light poles up and down the central corridor, right? So we're going to be doing that again here really soon. You'll be able to come in. This place will turn into an art gallery.
Don't look at me.
I have good reason to.
And then we do other events where we, we'll have little mini pop-ups events here. Our goal here is to really infuse life into West Central, right, and make it a vibrant place, you know, for everybody, right? You know, the business community, we want them to thrive, right? You know, the rest of Albuquerque, we want you to come visit the West Side. We want you to come see the uniquenesses that is West Central, and we want you to put those barriers down, mm-hmm. right? Come out and experience life, right? Experience the red or the green chili.
But not both.
But not at the same time.
And also bring your passport.
And bring your passport, yes. We're gonna get you hooked up with something somewhere. But yeah, you know, there's a lot of great things happening out here. And I'll just, you know, I'll say this, you know, for years, you know, the Southwest Mesa and the west side of Albuquerque has been ignored in terms of development for quite some time. And you know, at the end of the day, I haven't seen any plans for any more bridges being built across the river.
Oh, my gosh. And, can I just say, shutting down Rio Bravo right now is a mess.
Exactly. And, well, exactly right. You're experiencing that, yeah. right? And
it,
of course.
It's a little close to home, doesn't it?
Oh, gosh. Yeah.
That, I mean, that, and that happens, right? Anytime that there's a challenge, a traffic challenge, crossing the river, it affects the entire west side from north to south, right? We're talking about from Rio Rancho all the way down to Isleta Pueblo. It's a nightmare, right? So really, you know, for us, it's important that we really advocate for a good equal balance of infrastructure, right? That we're matching the number of jobs to the number of rooftops out here, that we're getting our fair share of commercial and industrial development out here, you know, that it's not just lopsided, all residential, you know, development. But, you know, we have things, right? We have entertainment here on the west side, not because we don't want to go across the river, but because, you know, really the only place for Albuquerque to grow is on the west side.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, well, can't go east anymore, guys.
And so, you know, it's time. Yeah. It's time, you know, I know that there's a lot of opposition in folks talking about, you know, we really need to focus on infill and not sprawl. And, you know, I can see some points to that, but really, you know, for years, you know, the rest of the city of Albuquerque was built on the taxpayer dollars from the west side. It's time that we get our fair share of development here on this side, right? You'll appreciate it, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Albuquerque's not getting smaller, especially with all these businesses coming in. It's right. Not getting smaller. Like, we are going to need to figure this housing thing out soon, so.
Absolutely, absolutely. And so, yeah, so I invite you, you know, come out and visit. We're the West Central Community Development Group. We've got lots of amazing things that are done here. We've got a lot of things that we still have to work on, but we'll gladly, you know, sit down and visit with you and learn about, you know, what your thoughts are and you know, what if you're a community member, what your needs are. Please, that's what we're here for. You know, we're here to support and we're here to work for our people.
Okay, we just wanted to thank you so much for giving us a little bit of your time to come and talk. And is there anything else you want to share?
Well, you know, there is that one time, Cinco de Mayo, 17 years ago.
Now we're getting down to it.
Yeah. No. No, but I'll tell you what, here's a great way, right? When you see somebody and you're familiar with them, but you're not sure, you know, here's your line for them, right? I'm going to give you one.
It's a freebie.
Right
here. It's a freebie, Albuquerque.
It's a freebie.
You're welcome.
Yes, right? You get them every time, right? You just look at them dead in the eye and you say, "We met before. Cinco de Mayo, 17 years ago, at the Rio Grande Cantina."
And no, they're going to be like, "That could have happened. I don't remember."
Yeah.
For a few reasons.
And,
I like it.
And now you're instantly friends.
There I love go. It. I'm going to use that this weekend.
There you go.
Thanks so much.
Yeah. No. Thank you guys for being here. Thank you guys for the opportunity. And whatever I can do to support you, let me know.
Absolutely. We'll do.
Hey Albuquerque, it's Ryan. Did you know that you can leave us a 60-second voice message right on your own Anchor app for us? It's true. We are gearing up for our first ever listeners episode, and we'd love to hear from you. Leave us a message and tell us about some of the ironies that you've noticed about living with coronavirus, or how plague has impacted your work or business, or what weird or artistic things you've been up to lately as you've been stuck at home. In the meantime, you can also post your answers and pictures on social media with the hashtag #BurkeSpeaks. Take care, stay safe, and remember, we're all in this together.
Hey there, What's Up ABQ listeners, fans, and friends. We know you love listening to the podcast,
Now what do you think about wearing it and spreading the buzz about your favorite show in Burke? The new What's Up ABQ podcast t-shirt is now available until April 22nd. Put this classic, classy tee on your back and choose from five different styles.
You're going to like the way you look. I guarantee it.
You'll be supporting and promoting the podcast. It's a limited time offer, seriously, only until April 22nd.
Here's how to order.
Just go to bonfire.com/classic-podcast-logo505. The website again is bonfire.com/classic-podcast-logo505, or find the link in the Instagram description at ABQ What's Up. Hurry and get your What's Up ABQ t-shirt before April 22nd. Thanks, Albuquerque.
By now, the isolation has got you going, and the thought of even attempting the grocery store is like, and your kids are like,
I'm so hungry.
Fear not, Albuquerque. Just call Rhubarb and Elliot Doorstep Delivery. How about kids' favorite meals ready to go and pop in the microwave, like chicken tenders, cheese quesadillas, or mac and cheese? Mom and Dad, we haven't forgotten about you either. With all-star dinners for the whole family and dinners for two ready to heat and eat, plus house-made soups, quiches, salads, and sandwiches, bagels, schmears, hummus, and even baked goodies. Not only will it satisfy your hunger, but all meals purchased help sustain the Albuquerque JCC's At-Risk Kids Meal Program. Free delivery to your doorstep with an order of $25 or more. Text them at 246-9608. That's 246-9608. Rhubarb and Elliot Doorstep Delivery. On the web at rhubarb-and-elliot-delivered.square.site. Here for you.
Hey, what's up, ABQ listeners? Now is more important than ever that we support our local businesses here in the Duke City. Take a listen to some previous podcast episodes to hear more about the local restaurants, breweries, lodging, and museums that really need your help and support right now. Please consider ordering curbside pickup, buy some merchandise or gift certificates, or give a donation to the podcast's friends and community members during this time. And please, Albuquerque, stay home if you can. Do it not only to protect yourself, your family, and friends, but also to protect those first responders who were on the front lines in helping others fight this virus. We can't stress this enough. Please stay home. And contact Ryan and Lindsay if you have an idea for a show. Once they get to go back outside, of course, just send a message to abqwhatsup@gmail.com. Take care of yourselves and each other, Albuquerque, and please join us for next week's episode of What's Up, ABQ.